chapter 1, in beginning in verse 1, God deals with Joshua about the death of Moses. After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As we begin this new year, this is the first Sunday of the new year. We've already had a week in it, but this is the first Sunday, first Lord's Day of the new year. I wanted to look in the Bible about how God's people can be successful. We think about that with the new year. Our health, our success in business, our general living standard. We think about those things as we begin the new year, and this is God's formula. You can't have success without having spiritual success. If we are spiritually successful, we have God on our side. And whatever takes place, God has promised for those who are faithful unto Him to meet our needs and to protect us and provide. And Joshua in he explains to him, he reminds him Moses is now dead, and now it's Joshua's responsibility to become the leader of the nation of Israel. I say to you that 2017 is dead and buried. It's the past. Now it's important that we lead in 2018. And in order to lead, we need to know where we're going and what we're doing. And if we have God's guidance, we'll be able to accomplish that without the difficulties and struggles that we would face if we didn't have God's guidance and God's leadership. You are now the leader of your family, your own Christian life, and many of you are leaders here in the church. And we no longer have Moses to tell us how to do everything. It's our responsibility as Christians who possess the Holy Spirit of God to be able to know right from wrong and make proper decisions and journey through life following the Lord and knowing His leadership. Leadership books tell us that the way to be successful is to find the right things to do and then do those every day and keep doing them for a long period of time. Doing what's right and traveling in the same direction for a long period will accomplish much more than wishing and hoping for instant things to happen, miraculous success, you know, God to call somebody to leave you a great inheritance. I don't know about you, but I don't even have any family that's got great wealth if they passed away to leave an inheritance or anything of that nature. My dad left me a broke shotgun and an acre of land. And I appreciated both of them, but, you know, it's not going to come that way for most people. It's going to come by working hard and putting a little money aside and continuing to do that throughout your lifetime. And spiritual success is the same way. Reading our Bible, going to church, being faithful, walking with God, and continuing to do that for a long period of time and we can become spiritually mature to face whatever we have to face. Let's pray, and then I'm going to share a few points with you. Father, as we look in your word, I pray for your help. Bless your people today. Provide their needs. Guide them in their decisions daily, and help us in the beginning of this year, like you used the calendar so often with the nation of Israel. Help me to use the calendar today to remind us of our dedication to you and the things we need to do to be successful for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, it's a financial plan. I call it 80-20. People who have financial institutions and plan financial success believe in more than that. They believe you ought to save at least 15% of your income. But I believe a Christian ought to tithe 10%, and I think they ought to save 10%. And if you can do that for a long period of time without bothering it, it will amount to a nest egg for you when you get to retirement age or kids going to college or whatever it may be. And our lives, establishing what God would have us to do and putting it into practice daily and continuing to do it for long periods of time is what we're talking about for spiritual success. We need to invest our time and our energy in the right things. We need to develop our abilities, educate ourselves in the things that can make a difference for our family and our Christian life. We have to be teachable. We have to be a learner, and that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of Christ who has apprenticed himself to Christ to become like Christ, and he's our teacher. So we should be ready to listen to every word he has to say and to seek to put it into practice in our lives. It's important we don't waste our time. Well, we're going to waste a little of it, no matter how spiritual we are or how motivated we are. We're going to waste a little bit, and that's okay. But we shouldn't waste hours and hours and hours every day that we could be using to accomplish things that would benefit us and benefit our family and probably help us not only to have spiritual success but financial success. First of all, to be successful, we must be learners. We must be teachable. We must be, as a disciple of Christ, one who's committed to learn from the Bible, to learn from the church, to learn from the Lord, to spend time in prayer with God that we might walk with Him. I went through an apprentice program as a tradesman when I was a young man. I started work on construction with Daniel's Construction Company, and I was a helper with a pipe fitting crew. And I immediately developed a desire to become a welder. I thought they were cool. They got to wear their hats backwards because you had to hook up your face shield, you know, and can't have a bill sticking out for that. So they got to wear their hats backwards. And the boss men on the job wore white hats, and the welders wore white hats. I liked that. And they made the highest pay of all the trades, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, you know, all that sort of thing. Now, many of them craftsmen made the same top wage, but some of them didn't make as much as others, and the welders made top pay. And I liked their dress. They had blue jeans, and they had blue denim shirts with snaps on them. That was cool. It looked like a cowboy. And they wore boots. And the reason is, if you catch fire, you can get out of that shirt real quickly if it caught on fire while you're welding, and it will do that. Those shirts were very expensive, and it was very easy to burn the arms of them up. When I was working at McGuire Nuclear Plant, I would often be wearing a T-shirt with a leather pair of sleeves. They covered my shoulders and down both arms. And I said, you know, you can repair skin, but that shirt costs money. You know, you got to buy those, you know. Besides, I want to look sharp when I leave work today. You know, put that shirt on with the creases still on it and all that, you know, iron it, make it look good. So I wanted to be a welder. I'm just being honest here today. I was the same way to be a Marine. I wanted those dress blues, you know. I wanted to look sharp. I wanted to look like a Marine on the poster, you know. And I did for about 2 years. Spiritually, growing, learning. There are motivations for us to do that. We can go through the training of a craft to become the top paid employee, and we can go through the growth of spiritual maturity by walking with God to become a leader in the church, to become a teacher of other people, to become a leader in our family so that we have spiritual success. I read in a study of 90 top leaders from a variety of fields that leadership experts Warren Bennis and Bert Nanus, in a book, made a discovery about the relationship between growth and leadership. It is the capacity to develop and improve their skills that distinguish leaders from their followers. Successful leaders are learners who are teachable, and they learn new things. They learn how to develop their skills and put them into practice, and that puts them ahead of other people. A learning process takes self-discipline. It takes study to become spiritually mature in the knowledge of the Bible. It takes a perseverance to keep going after it. Now, I'm one of those kind of people that often falters. Whatever I'm doing in life, I make mistakes. I get discouraged. I just don't accomplish what I want to sometimes. But the key to that is to get back to it and persevere. Start again. It's like riding a horse. If you fall off, get back on him and ride again. The next time, you'll probably go farther than you did the time before, or you'll break your neck, one of the two. Jesus said to be his disciples, we have to deny ourselves. That's self-discipline. That's saying no to the desire to take a nap when we ought to be studying, to go play football with the gang instead of college study for the course that we've got a test in tomorrow. The self-discipline of a man who gets up every morning and rushes out of the house to work and drives an hour to get there and works 8 or 10 hours a day and then comes home and gets back up and does it again the next day. It takes self-discipline to do that. And it takes self-discipline for a Christian to become a disciple of Christ. He has to deny himself. His desires must become the desires of the Lord. And then it takes that attitude of not giving up, denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following him. That takes effort and toil and sweat and time devoted to learning anything. And to learn it well, it takes additional time. Maybe it's learning a language. Maybe it's learning the Bible itself and the doctrines of Scripture and the theology of the Bible, how it's laid together, why we live in the New Testament times, and all of that sort of thing. When I first got saved, I knew very little about the Bible. I had respect for the Bible, respect for God, but I wasn't saved. And when I got saved, I was hungry to know things. I didn't know who wrote the New Testament. I didn't know what the difference was between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I didn't know who wrote the books of the Bible. And I didn't know the dates they were written. And I didn't know about the nation of Israel and their part in the Scriptures and all that sort of. It took a learning process to begin to know those things, and it took some diligent study. I went to a Bible college for my seminary training, and I was going to school with young people who were 18 and 19 and 20 years old who just graduated from high school and went off to Bible college. I was 28 years old. And they knew things. Many of them had gone to Christian school and been raised in a Christian home, and they knew a lot of things that I didn't know. And I determined they're not going to be far ahead of me because I'm going to study and catch up. I'm going to learn the things I didn't know. And that's an important principle in any kind of growth, is first of all to figure out what it is you don't know. And then start making the correction so that you will know what you need to do. It'll take turning off the TV sometimes. And we don't need to waste time with some of the things we watch on television anyway. Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Feelgood and all of that kind of stuff. They don't give you anything beneficial. They give you things that tickle your ears. They're almost like false prophet preachers who tickle the ears of people to tell them what they want to hear, and then they work in some kind of corruption along the way. We need to spend a little more time in our Bible. We need to spend a little more time in prayer. We need to spend a little more time in the spiritual goal of becoming spiritually mature as a leader in the Lord's church. Maybe you'd like to apply that to your career, your job. Maybe you're still young enough that you're would like to get ahead in the business world and industry, whatever it may be. And it might take going back to school and taking a course, at improving your knowledge through education or reading some books or applying yourself under someone who already knows the things that you need to know. And it will take time. It'll take an investment of your energy and your time. I encourage people to invest some money in books. People spend all kind of money on a widescreen TV and cable TV and surround sound systems and video movies and all that sort of thing. And then they balk at paying $50 or $60 for a study Bible or $30 for a concordance that would have a Hebrew dictionary and a Greek dictionary so they can look up almost any word in the Bible and look at it in its original language with a definition of the word itself. And the key to that is it shows you the verse that it's in, what translation is, because sometimes there are words translated 6 or 7 different ways that are used in the Bible. And so it might be used slightly different in one verse than it is in another verse. And the way you learn that is by taking a concordance and looking up those words and looking them up in the dictionary in their language, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, and get the definition of those words. It's going to take a little bit of money and a little bit of effort and a little bit of space and a little bit of time. But you can educate yourself in the Bible or in a skill or in having a better home and being a better leader and being a better parent and being a better husband and wife and apply ourselves. There's a book written on every subject in the world. You just got to know what you don't know and go find the book that will help you. As Christian disciples of Christ, we need to learn some things in this new year that will help us be better. I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is explaining to the Jewish mindset that Christ is better. He's superior. He's superior to angels. And he's superior to Moses and Joshua and Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, but we have a greater high priest than Aaron. That's Jesus Christ, who forever makes intercession on behalf of his people. Christ is superior. Christ is better. His new covenant is better than the old covenant. His sanctuary in heaven is better than what we have here on this earth. And Christ is superior and better than all these things. And it's important that we learn that and know that. And you can be better as a parent, as a leader, as a worker, as a Christian, as a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be, you can grow and become better and better and better. You can't just sit around and expect it to happen and hope it's going to happen and wish it's going to happen. It's going to take energy and effort and time. We can be a better Christian, a better disciple, a better parent, a better husband, a wife, a better witness for Christ, a better worker with a better career. My wife's stepdad, way back many years ago, I admired him for a few things, and he was a worker. He was a mechanic in a manufacturing plant. And he would read these books on popular science and have blueprints on how to build something, and he could build it, you know. And he had a lot of ability like that. He was not a fantastic welder, so he would call me up and ask me to come over and weld stuff for him because he wanted it to really be put together right, you know, and be welded by somebody that was certified. And I was glad to help him because he was willing to help me with many things. And I remember he went to York Tech as an adult man in his late 40s or early 50s, and took a course on bricklaying. And then he picked up all the land they bought. They had 17 acres of land, and about half of it was just covered with rocks. I mean, big rocks that were buried in the ground and stones this big. They were just all over the place. So he and his wife picked up rocks for about 3 years. Like you'd go out and rake your leaves in the season, you know, they'd go out and work on the rock pile. And he took that bricklaying course and he built a wall down the driveway out of rocks. And he built two chimneys out of rocks. And he built a whole building out the back for storage out of rocks. And he learned how to do the mortar and how to put it together and how to make it, you know, be square and level and plumb and all that sort of thing. He already had a little building knowledge about putting a roof on it or something like that. And just by going out to York Tech for one semester and taking a bricklaying course, he improved his property by that ability that he obtained through that course. Some of you have gone through courses to learn how to do electrical work or plumbing work or whatever it was you did in life. Some of you might have even been in the welding business like I was. And some of you have taken classes through the church, and you've studied your Bible, and you listen in your Sunday school class, and you're trying to grow in your faith so that you can be better used by God in your home and in the world, reaching others. Secondly, because we've been born again, we have the nature of Christ, and we're admonished to have the mind of Christ and to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident through our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Found in Galatians chapter 5. We have to develop our new nature, and we need not to develop our old nature, the flesh, the desires of sinful things. God's given us a new nature, the spiritual nature we have. Part of us wants to be a spiritual person. We want to please God with our life. And we've got to help that new nature to get focused on growing and being in control of our daily life instead of feeding the flesh and the old nature controlling. Nature determines appetite. I like to eat. It's obvious by looking at me, I do. And the worst part of it is I like to eat things that make you fat. I like sweets. And, you know, people say sometimes they take a bite out of something and they say, boy, that's too sweet. That's too rich. You know, I've never said that in my life. I can eat anything sweet. And I wouldn't just take a bite of it. I'd eat the whole thing, you know. And I like fried foods and things like that. Well, you know, that's my appetite because I'm a person, but cows eat grass. And squirrels eat nuts. Their nature determines their appetite. It is the nature of the unsaved to have an appetite for sin, to have a desire for sinful things, a taste for sinful ways. But that's not supposed to be our appetite as Christians. Our appetite is to be for spiritual things that we might grow. Nature of the unsaved is an appetite for sin, but that should not be our nature, our appetite for spiritual things. Nature determines environment. I'm very thankful my wife and I, we live in a double-wide mobile home. It has nice brick underpinning and a nice shingle roof, and it's built well, and we've lived in it for 20 years and intend to live in it for the rest of our days unless the developers push us out and give us enough money to relocate ourselves. And our home is warm, and our water hasn't frozen, thank God, and God's looked after us and taken care of us and provided for us, and He's met our needs. And I live in a place like that because I'm a human being. But we have deer in the woods behind our house. They live outside in the woods because that's their nature. That determines their environment. Birds fly in the air. My wife feeds birds all the time. We got two or three bird feeders in the backyard. One is a snowman with black seed in it, and the little chickadees come and peck those seeds through the little holes in the snowman, you know. And we tried using the sack feeder, but they just didn't do that one very well. And then we have a great big feeder that holds several pounds of bird food, and boy, we'll have 6 and 8 birds at a time on that thing fluttering around chasing each other off, and all the stuff they knock over on the ground, the doves are on the ground underneath walking around. I saw a couple of doves, they were that big around. I mean, they were so fat, I don't imagine how they could fly. And their nature determines that they live outside. They live in a nest. They fly in the air. Unsaved people love darkness rather than light. The darkness of sinful things, the darkness of deception, the darkness of keeping away from the light that would reveal their life. The Lord said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. 1 John says we're to walk in the light as God is in the light, and the blood of Christ will cleanse us of all of our sins. Nature determines associations. Cats and birds are not normally friends. We had a yard cat for 20 years, and if I would take the time to sit down on the porch, she would either rub my leg until I finally paid her some attention, or she'd jump in my lap. And I'd pet her a couple of times, you know, the wrong way or something, you know, usually scratch her behind the ears, and then I'd throw her down and say, get on now, you know, leave me alone. And because I spent that little minute petting her, the next day I'd go out of the door and I'd have to be careful where I step because they liked to be a little snake, a bird, the remaining parts of a bird, or a mouse or something like that. Whatever she could capture, you know, part of a baby rabbit or something else, it'd be laying out there. She'd be brought me a present, see, because I was nice to her. That was her nature. That determined her association. She hung around with people because she liked to get petted. The cats and birds didn't hang around together because she was like Sylvester the cat, but she'd eat a bird in a moment, you know. And dogs and cats are not usually friends. Well, who are your friends? Who do you spend time with? What is their nature? As saved people, we should be careful that we spend most of our time with spiritual people. Now, we can be friends to people that need us to be a witness to them and give them the gospel and invite them to church and show them some kindness to try to influence them for Christ. But we've got to be careful that we don't become so involved with the unsaved world that we spend time with the wrong people and get influenced by them, because we are all, I said me too, we are all influenced by the people we spend time with. In the early church, they met faithfully together daily in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Nature determines danger. Salmonella doesn't bother a turtle, but it can kill you and me. One of our families, their son got a little turtle, like, you know, box turtle, you know, a little water turtle, like you make a, not an aquarium, but a terrarium, you know, put a little turtle in there. You know, you used to, back years ago, half of you young people don't know what a dime store is. Back years ago, you used to have dime stores, you know. Now you got Dollar General, you know, and they'd sell turtles, a little 30 cent or something, little turtles, you know. And one of our folks, their son got one, and he got playing with it and petting it and all that kind of stuff, you know, and then he rubbed his eyes and that kind of thing. He got salmonella poisoning from that turtle. You see, it didn't hurt the turtle, but it could kill a human being. Catfish live on the bottom of the river, and they eat everything that dies and falls down in the bottom of the river. You can't eat that diet that they have, or it'd kill you. But they can eat it and flourish and grow from it. That's their nature. Animals can live outside in the winter, but this weather like this right now, I'd hate for somebody to be homeless trying to sleep outside in weather like this. Well, it's important that we recognize our nature as a Christian and we live according to the spiritual nature that we should have, and that we burn our bridge back to the old way that we had before we got saved. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Nature determines abilities. Eagles can fly in the air and spot something on the ground a half a mile away. They have 40-40 vision. And I can't see like that. That's their nature. They have to be able to drop out of the sky like a rocket and grab a rat or a little bird on the ground and eat that because they're carnivores. They eat flesh. I am a carnivore also. I like vegetarians because everything I eat is a vegetarian. Deer and cows and, you know, all of that. You know, they're vegetarians. We can't see like an eagle or an owl at night, and we can't prevent our age from affecting our vision and our longevity. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All that God would have us to do, He can enable us to do and please Him with our life. Last of all, I want to hurry through this. Let's seek in this new year to grow and learn and accomplish what's needed to be accomplished in 2018. God intends for us to continue to grow and serve Him in the rest of our lives. He has answers for life's demands. His way is what is best for us, and it will be the blessing. But it's going to take us eating the elephant. The only way you eat an elephant would be one bite at a time over a long period of time. Keep going. Keep putting the effort, having patience and endurance day by day over a long period. Don't be like the pendulum of a clock that swings from one thing to another. You get onto this track and then you get onto that and then you get onto this and you get onto that. No, let's pursue the right things and continue in the right direction for a long period of time to become spiritually mature. Doesn't take any effort to be a spectator. You can sit and watch as life passes you by, or you can get involved. Successful people develop a plan for their work and then work their plan. If you are not at the age yet, I hope our young people will consider, rather than rushing into life of marriage and a home and a job and a career when you're right out of high school, get your education while you're young and while you have the opportunity to do so. And get it behind you. It takes time to get a college degree. It takes time to learn a trade. But if you put forth the effort, you can do it. John Maxwell said leadership. Many fail to be leaders because they simply don't know what they don't know. It's important that we're willing to learn what we don't know. Secondly, I know now what I didn't know before is a great step toward spiritual success. And thirdly, growth gets started and pursue whatever it takes to learn, to establish, to better yourself, to become a leader. To lead tomorrow, you got to learn today. It takes time to get to that place. Education's not wasted. Training's not wasted. Preparation's not wasted. We need to be people of action. Loving people is an action word. If we're going to love people, we're going to have to show them that we love them by the deeds that we do, not just the words that we say. In 2018, let's get busy to become a successful person for God. Put the past behind us. Establish where the goal is and then press toward the goal. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said that's the way to pursue. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here in the house of God today. Thank you for the visitors that we have. We ask your blessings on them. We pray, Father, for your guidance and direction in our lives. Pray your blessings in this invitation. Maybe there's somebody here today that's never been saved. We pray you'll deal with their heart to help them to know their need and help them to understand how much you love them in giving your son to die for them. And help them to know that we care, and we want to help them to know the Lord and to know forgiveness and to have everlasting life. And we'll guide them if they'll come and let us take the Bible and show them that today. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing 393 in closing. Take my life and let it be. If you need it in your hymnal, it's 393.